Let's receive our evening offering. And Mr. Chance, to raise your income right there. So give the Lord a praise. Look in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 8. We will endeavor to be a blessing to you, and we're going to be talking about receiving, and we're going to talk about receiving from God, hallelujah, receiving revelation. We're going to be talking about receiving healing. There's just a lot of good things that we have in store by the Spirit of God. Verse 1 of Luke chapter 8. That wild bunch from Alabama. Amen. Hallelujah. And it came to pass. Don't you like that? It came to pass. I'm looking for some of those. I'm looking for some suddenlies. I'm looking for some immediatelys. I'm looking for straightways. Hallelujah. Amen. And immediately the leprosy got up and left. I like that too. Amen. I heard Brother Keith say this, and I like it. If you want to stay in debt, if you really enjoy that, and you would like to stay in debt, and you'd like to stay behind on your bills, then you need to leave. Because your debt and poverty is in real danger in here. And I can tell you something else. Sickness, disease, weakness, and pain. Whoa. Well, I'll tell you what, it's in danger. You know why? Because it came to pass. And it's coming to pass. It came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Now, Luke, being the writer of this and being a physician, not only that, Luke wrote a documentary, not just personal observation. Now, he was personally there and personally observed, but he questioned people and interviewed people. And so we find a lot of information that the other writers didn't include. Now, there's some things that the others included that he didn't, but here are some details that are very, very pertinent and important. I want you to listen to them very carefully. Here is not only the 12, but here are many others who are partners with this ministry, and they traveled with him and ministered to him of their substance. That I know from studying and praying in the Spirit a lot about this. There's a lot going on in the meetings of Jesus other than his just preaching or teaching. There was testifying. These women were testifying of what had happened to them. There were people telling what had happened and how they'd been delivered. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? She testified. That's the way they found out she, how long she'd been in that condition and all the things that happened to her, because she told it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, it doesn't say that she went along with this team. It doesn't say she didn't. Huh? There were many others. Certain women. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, if I was her, I'd have been there. Because now she's financially able. Oh, but now, wait a minute, Brother Coleman. She spent all that she had. Yeah, but Jesus said your faith made you whole. Not healed, whole. You're not whole when you're financially incapable of doing the things that God tells you to do and the things that you desire to do in the kingdom of God. That's not being whole. I've been there and I don't like it, and I'm not going back. Yes. Praise God. Amen. Now, many others which ministered unto him of their substance, when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable. Sower went out to sow. Now then, notice the 8th verse. Other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. Here are people, partners, team members, ministering to him of their substance. And he's teaching them the principles of the kingdom that govern 100-fold harvest by the word of God. Amen. Now, now Jesus was and is a preacher. And preachers get loud. Amen. Now notice. Other fell on good ground, sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried. He got loud. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He wanted them to get this. He got loud about it. I want you to have this. You're sowing into me. I'm sowing into you. Glory to God. Faith cometh. Well, go to the next verse. And he said unto you, let's back up. His disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto you. Now, he's not just talking to the 12. He's talking to his partners. He's talking to these women that were part of that team and all that were traveling there with him, all that were part of his ministry and his leadership. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, seeing they might not see, hearing they might not understand. Now, the parable is this. So now, who got in on the private teaching? Partners and staff. Glory to God. Amen. And I want you to see that tonight. Those that sow into him. And as you sow into this meeting tonight and sow into this ministry, you're not giving to me. Actually, you're sowing into the ministry of Jesus. Didn't he say, the works that I do, shall you do also? Well, that was the work of Jesus right there. He went into the villages preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. That's the works of Jesus. Well, that's what we're doing tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we're very busy going a lot of places and doing a lot of things, and a lot of things are happening. And there are things happening in the spirit realm right now that are extremely important. And it is about to burst into the natural. Thank you, Lord. The realm of the spirit is not separated in location from this natural realm. The realm of the spirit doesn't start in the sky up there somewhere. No, we're in it right now. You're in eternity right now. You will never cease to exist. I don't care who you are. Now, you have a choice about where you exist, but not if you exist. Because once a spirit being, you are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a physical body. And once a spirit has been released by God, there's no way, no possible way to cease to exist. A spirit lives forever. Amen. Amen. Now, you can spend it with Jesus, which really, that's the thing you really ought to do. And it's your choice, not God's. He's already made his choice. He said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. He'd already made his choice. He's already chosen you and me. There's no way that he said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Well, everybody but you, you know. No, no, no. He didn't exclude anybody. So he made his choice. If 100% choosing, that's even better. Amen. Now, faith, the spiritual force of faith, reaches into the unseen realm of the spirit and transfers things, THINGS, things to be manifested in the material realm. Nothing starts in the material realm. It is spirit to matter. Amen. Now, the spirit gives life to matter. So when we read things like this, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. There's a chance to make a choice. Is he talking to you or somebody? Talking to me. I put myself in that. Well, you know, Brother Cohen, no. He said, unto you. But see, Brother Copeland, he was talking to them. No, he was talking to me. This Bible presented to Kenneth Copeland. Yeah, it's mine. Yeah, I got the right one. It's mine. He's talking to me. When it becomes personal, you begin to get excited about it. Amen. Unto you it is given to know. We're in on the know. Hallelujah. Inside information. Information that's inside this book and inside God and inside us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now then, look back with me in Mark's gospel of this account, chapter 4. And notice he said in the 21st verse, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? Now that'd be foolish. Light a candle and put it under the bed. Well, you burn the house down first and then what's the use of lighting the candle and then hiding it? And you know, I'm telling you, there's a lot, I would say most. And now when I say Christians, I'm not talking about the religious world. I'm talking about people that are born again, that know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen. But there is, I'm going to say it again. Most are New Testament untaught and live on assumptions and ideas that come from, well, what Brother Hagin called religious brainwashing. That's exactly what it is. Well, you know, God moves in mysterious ways. And, well, now why would he want to hide from, why would he want to hide from you or me? I mean, what's in it for him? To bring light of the word, open in detail the mysteries of the kingdom, and say to you, unto you it is given to know, if you can find. Sweetheart, if God won't hide something from you, you ain't never gonna find it. You ain't even gonna stumble up on it. He went to great lengths to hide it from the devil and reveal it to you and me. Glory to God. So, it is not hidden from us, it's hidden for us. Nothing hid, but that won't be manifested. Neither anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Here he said it again. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. We'll talk more about this as the week goes on. Having ears to hear. That's what he shouted. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you measure it, it shall be measured to you. So now, if you're believing for 100-fold, is it going to be 100-fold teaspoons? 100-fold teacups? 100-fold dump trucks. Well, we're getting better. But see, that's your part. He said 100-fold. Glory. And he said, now you listen, you pay attention to the way you're hearing things. Because the way you measure it is the way it's going to be measured back to you. The way you hear it. The way you hear it. He didn't even say the way he said it. He said the way you hear it. That's the governing factor. The way you hear it. But you know why that, you know why that's true? Because the way you hear it is the way you're going to say it. And the way you say it is the way you're going to get it. You not only can have what you say, you have what you say.
Yes, that's true.
What you have today is what you said yesterday.
That's true. Absolutely true.
Amen. And one more thing here, and we'll go on. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. To he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now we already know who's the one that takes away. Satan. Satan cometh immediately to steal the word. He that hath what? Ears to hear. He that hath not what? Ears to hear. He that hath ears to hear is someone that by faith has opened their ears and their eyes. If you can close your eyes, you can open them. If you can close your ears, then you can open them. And I'm talking about your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears. And you do this all the time. This is the way human beings are created, and they do it all the time. This is something that you practice both in the spirit and in the natural realm. You do it all the time. But once you begin to deal with the Word of God, and you begin to deal with revealed knowledge, now you're dealing over in the realm of faith, hope, and love. Amen. So, say this. In the name of Jesus,
I open my eyes.
I open my ears to hear, my eyes to see, and I receive. Boy, it just does you good to say it, doesn't it? Amen. Well, yes, sir. I can do that. Back up over here to the book of Matthew. And we will look in the 13th chapter of Matthew. Jesus talking about the same thing. Verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Well, if you can close them, you can open them. But now, what is hearing and not hearing? Jesus said to Philip, Philip, from whence shall we get food to feed these people? He said, we don't have the money. He never answered what Jesus asked him. And the scripture said he did this to prove him because he already knew what he was going to do. Philip didn't hear him. He wasn't listening. He was listening to the problem. What Jesus asked him just kind of bounced off his ears. But, you know, I didn't intend to get this far into this, but I'm in there now, I guess. They were not listening to Jesus preach. They were talking about food, and they were scared because it's getting dark, and they were worried about the people, and they were worried about Jesus because he didn't know when to quit preaching. And they interrupted the healing meeting to tell him what time it was.
Wow.
Now, he's got a whole lot more grace than I've got. I got my own clock up here. Amen. But that's hearing and not hearing. Because you're hearing what someone is, you hear them talking, but you're not listening to the words because you've already made up your mind what you're thinking and what you're listening to. So your ears are closed to them. You've done this. I've done this. Someone is standing there talking to you and you're not paying any attention to what they're saying because you're trying to figure out what you're going to say when they get through. I've done it. Boy, you can get in trouble like that. Because if you don't pay attention, you agree to something you wish you hadn't agreed to. And nowadays, you know, there's some kind of listening gadget in every pocket. Somebody's taking a video and everything else. You better get it right the first time. But I want you to notice now, in verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. So back up to that 15th verse. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time. Say any time. Well, you know, if you're just very smart at all, any time is right now. Any time they should see with their eyes. See what? The word of the kingdom. I drew three lines from the word of the kingdom and drew up into that 15th verse. At any time they should see the word of the kingdom with their eyes and hear the word of the kingdom with their ears and should understand the word of the kingdom with their heart and should be converted. Now, what does that mean? Let the word of the kingdom change the way you think, the way you speak, and the way you act.
Amen.
Amen? I, anytime, I should heal them. But your eyes, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Now, to whom is he speaking in verse 16? His staff, his partners,
amen,
and his team. And your eyes are blessed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
My eyes are blessed.
Yes.
My ears are open.
Yes.
When did they open? When I said it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, like I say, we'll take up and at this point in a lot of different ways before we get done. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. And we pray. I pray for every person in the sound of my voice concerning this offering tonight. And I thank you and praise you that you're by your Spirit right now revealing to each person their part of the finances of this ministry and this meeting in which we are engaged. And we give you praise and thanksgiving for it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's good. Thank you. Jesus' own mother gave us the key to increase supernaturally. Whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. I've had him say things to me just as plain. I mean, sometimes it'll come as a conviction. I mean, you just know. And it's a growing knowing. You just know, this is something I'm supposed to do. And there have been times he said things to me concerning different offerings and different time and different ministries and so forth. And I've noticed this. It is very seldom, particularly when I'm seeking the Lord and what he wants me to do and so forth and financially and things like that. It's just not very often that he tells me to do something that I can just go do. Because if I can do it, and it be easy, there's no growth in that. I've had him tell me to do things that I said, well, I'll do that. One of the first times that happened, the Lord said, I want you to give Brother Hagin $50,000. And I said, well, yes, sir, I'll do it. I didn't have $50,000. I'd seen $50,000 by that time in the ministry and more, but he wasn't talking about from the ministry. He's talking about me personally. Amen. And and I said, yes, sir, I'll do it. Well, I just started, every night, whatever I had in my pocket was going to Brother Hagin. Whatever, anybody walked up and handed me anything, it is going to Brother Hagin. And I just putting it away and turning it in and wasn't counting it. It just being shipped up there, you know, just little all the time, just excited about it, believing God. Thank God I give Brother Hagin $50,000. Now, here's the big thing. The moment I agreed to do it, in the eyes of God, the seed was sown. Amen. The system is working. Why? That's the way I measured it. Wow. And I agreed wholeheartedly. I didn't say, well, you always telling me to do something I can't do, but I'll do it because you said to. No, you don't qualify. The scripture says you're willing and obedient. Now, that's obedience without being willing. And that's expensive. Anyway, that's another lesson. So, I don't remember now how long it had been, but sure wasn't any way in my mind I'd have sent $50,000 up there. But one day I got curious about it, so I just called up and I asked Brother Hagin's son-in-law, Buddy Harrison. I said, Buddy, would you check the records and see how much I have sown in the way of offerings over the last such and such from this particular time? And so he called me back. It was well over $50,000. And I thought, how did you do that? And I kept thinking about that, and I kept thinking about that. And he referred me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's right there in front of you. Amen. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. Well, yeah, you see, Brother Copeland, but the harvest is the multiplying of the seed. No. When you sow a seed, the harvest is in that seed. But now, if God is multiplying your seed sown, you're sending one and they're getting three.
Wow.
Now you got a deal going. That's what happened to my offering. And I haven't had it happen nowhere near enough. But I have had it happen in times past. And there are testimony after testimonies after testimony after testimony of God multiplying seed. Amen. God doing things when a farmer's whole crop is just gone. Good friend of mine ministering to a farmer. I mean, that cotton crop was gone. It was over with, man. The crop came up. Bowls never did open. And they're just, you know, hard as little pine knots. And that is the end of it. It just wasn't going to do anymore. And he stood on his tithe, claimed his tithing rights. And Brother Williams was praying with him. And he said that field looked like, he said it looked like popcorn popping. God supernaturally brought that harvest in, and it was done for. It was over with. Other people just plowing it under, but not this man, because he claimed his tithing rights. They stood there and watched that field. Amen. That's another form of multiplying your seed sown. Because in this case, that's the sower and the reaper walking side by side. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, do you like this anyway near as much as I do? This is the kind of thing that'll make a somebody out of nobody. Hallelujah. Now, you know why he does this? Because he loves you. And because he needs you. And he needs you strong. And he needs you healthy. And he needs you baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he needs you walking and living in the Spirit. And he needs you rich. He needs you rich. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus.